We'll grab our seats. We'll get started this evening. A beautiful spring day, but cold. Winter keeps... It's nuts. Winter keeps holding on a little bit. Better. Alrighty. So we're continuing on in our topical studies. Tonight we're talking about why faith. What's the importance of faith? And I invited Seth to bring the Word of God to us tonight. And so be looking forward to that. I'm going to pray for Seth real quick, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another Wednesday evening to come to you and pray to you and offer up our needs and our wants and our love for other people who need your loving and healing touch in their life, Lord. And so we just pray that you open our hearts at this time to receive your Word wholly, to apply it to our lives. We pray for Seth. God, take any kind of fear or anxiety that he may be feeling right now. Take it from him and anoint him with your Spirit that he may bring your Word boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. I feel like with faith that we should have faith that the weather will get better eventually. So tonight we're going to talk about faith. And the title of it will be kind of like, why faith? Why do we need faith? And then to an extent, what is faith? So we know that faith, the dictionary, I looked it up today, the dictionary defines faith as a complete trust or confidence in something or someone. And so, you know, when we walk into the church, you sit on a pew, you have faith that that's going to hold you. It's nice and sturdy. But like when I was a kid, and you see these handmade rockers, these little small rockers, you want to, I wanted to always sit in them, as big as I was, and see if they'd hold me. Most of the time they would. My mom always hated me doing that. But we have more faith that a sturdy pew will hold us than a small little rocker. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why is faith what it is? It's because what we're trusting in is almighty, and it's powerful. And so we know what the dictionary says about faith, but we also want to see ultimately what Scripture says about faith. If I can get to, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is what a lot of people refer to as the Hall of Faith, just kind of like a Hall of Fame, but they're just ordinary people that had tremendous faith in an awesome God. So we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are... So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And so there's two key words in that first verse in my translation. I'm using the ESV translation. The first two key words are assurance and a conjunction of words, not seen. And so assurance, if we have assurance of something, we can be assured. We don't have any doubts about it. We don't have any reservations about it. So we're assured. And so as Christians, what can we be assured of? I've got five things as Christians that we can be assured of, and there's so many things more, but if we're in Christ, we can be assured that we're loved. We can be assured that we're forgiven. We can be assured that we're justified. We can be assured that we're adopted. You're a son or daughter now of the Most High God. And number five, you can be assured that you're embarked on a journey while you're on this earth. And so that journey is a journey of what we call sanctification. In other words, it's becoming more and more like Christ and growing in your faith. And so the other key word that we mentioned there is not seen. It's a conjunction of two words. So look over to verse 8 of chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So I think the key two words in that verse that kind of relates to not seeing is not knowing. Abraham didn't know where he was going when God called him. He was comfortable. He was living his life in Ur. It was a pagan land. He was a pagan. And this unknown God to him calls him, and he doesn't, and he says, "I'm going to give you a promised land." And Abraham went out, but he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know any details, but he left and he went. So tonight, that is how I would define faith on this earth, is we don't know. That defines faith. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. We don't know if we'll get tomorrow. But what we do know is that God is good. We do know that by the blood of Christ, our sins are atoned for. Another thing we know is that God is present in your life, and that he lives inside of you, and that he is completely sovereign over your life. And so I wanted to read these words to you. You can follow along if you'd like to, out of Psalm 139, just explaining the sovereignty of God and how present and active he is in everyone's life. Starting at verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." So David wrote this psalm, and he gives us words that we can understand how sovereign God is in our life, and we can have faith according to God's word that he is sovereign exactly over our life. And so let's move on. God lays out what faith is in his word. We understand what faith is, but how does our faith grow? That's one thing also that scripture will tell us. We have our initial faith, but how does that faith grow? If you're like me and like to eat, you don't want just a little small potato. You want that small potato to grow into a big baked potato and eat that whole thing. So that's what we want. We want our faith to grow just like anything else. And so Paul's going to tell us how that happens in Romans chapter 10. You'll flip there with me. So we're going to read just verse 17 in Romans chapter 10. It says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now that is a short verse, but it is packed full of tons and tons of information and meaning for us. And so let's unpack it just a little bit here. So where does faith come from according to Paul? And the answer is hearing. Faith comes from hearing. And then you've got the comma. And then if we're hearing something, we have to listen to something. And so if we're hearing, what are we hearing? We're hearing the word of Christ, and that's where faith comes from. And so as Christians, we have two options. We have two things we can listen to. We can listen to the world and its viewpoint on life. We can listen to what the Bible says and the Bible's viewpoint on life. So this is faith. This is where faith comes, and it builds. And as we trust what Scripture says about life, or do we trust ourselves and what otherworldly voices would say? The worldly voices would say that this is all there is, that there's nothing after this. Live, you know, the expression for, especially my generation, as I've been raised, I guess, is YOLO. Everybody's starting to get familiar with that. You only live once, and that's the viewpoint of the world, is that do what you can while you're here. There's nothing else. And so we live with a viewpoint that says, no, there is something else. This is not our eternal home. And we know that our Savior is making a home for us with him in glory. And so have you ever heard the saying, walk by faith and not by sight? If you flip that around, that's the viewpoint of the world. And so if we're going to live for eternity, and if we're going to live past the here and now, we have to put our faith in this book. So everybody's got their own interpretation about the world. Oprah's got an interpretation. Dr. Phil's got his interpretation. celebrities and athletes have their interpretations. The great thing is we have an interpretation of life and of the world bound up in a book, and it's the Creator's interpretation. The Creator of the universe gave us his interpretation of the world, and it's bound up in these pages. And so as believers, we have to put our faith in his interpretation. He knows what's best for us. And so how does it grow? Well, in the same way, Galatians 3 says that our faith didn't come by works of the law, but it came through faith in hearing this word. And so the same applies to how it's going to grow. It's not going to grow by works of the law. It's not going to grow by listening to worldly voices, but it's going to grow by staying in this word, obeying it, and trusting it. So you know, like when you are riding and when, you know, you get a phone call, or maybe if this would be a better example, if you're shopping, ladies, and you're looking at price tags and you try to sort these things through, and somebody calls you, and then maybe you've got a kid with you and you're trying to multitask and you're trying to read these things, you're trying to talk on the phone, and you're trying to hear maybe overhead a sale that they've just announced. You've got your hands in so many different things, and so can't really focus on one thing. Well, I think that's what Paul is kind of getting at here when he's talking about hearing. I think there's a difference between hearing and listening. I think hearing, you absorb it. I like to use the analogy that you hear with your heart and with your mind, but you just listen with your ears. It's kind of in one and out the other. But if we hear something, we're completely focused on it and we're absorbed. And so when we study Scripture, we try to make it, and it's hard. I know there's so many distractions, but if we can soak it in and let it be the only thing on our mind, then that it soaks into our heart, and our heart is actually a servant of our mind. So as these verses that you read in your daily devotionals sink into your heart, it changes, it goes into your mind, and it shapes your reality. And so Scripture engages us completely. And so it's hard to have your faith grow, but kind of have half and half devotion. So that's what I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit. And I also wanted to give you encouragement from Scripture about faith, and it's going to be from Jeremiah chapter 9. It's going to be starting in verse 23. And so this will give us another way in which that Scripture tells us that our faith can grow. In Jeremiah chapter 9, starting at verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And I'm going to tie that Scripture, just go ahead and say it, to Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And so I say that because in Jeremiah, in this part of Scripture, what's happening in the text is that Judah is being Nebuchadnezzar and his army from Babylon taking them, and they're going into exile. And so Jeremiah is trying to tell the people, you need to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, because that's God's plan. Nebuchadnezzar is actually God's instrument, so we need to submit to him. But the kings are saying, you know what, we're going to team up with Egypt. We're going to try to beat them, but it never works out. And so what's happening here is the people are trusting in Egypt. They're trusting in themselves. They're not trusting in the Lord. And so as Romans 12:12 says, they're not rejoicing in hope that one day, as Jeremiah was prophesying, that Israel will be restored. And they're not being patient in tribulation. They're wanting a way out of it quick. And they're not being constant in prayer. They're trying to figure their own way out of this mess that they've got. And initially, this mess that they're in started by lack of faith. God gave his word of the covenant. His people didn't trust that was what was best for the nation. Rebelled against it. And so this tribulation for the people that will be the remnant for Israel, this tribulation made them stronger. God brought them back and restored Israel. They built a new temple. And so, just as I like to lift weights. So if I do my bicep curl, my bicep's not going to get any stronger. Lift it and put some stress on it. Bicep muscles. So, and can build with tribulation. And Paul says in Romans to be patient in tribulation. That's extremely hard. But if we can see tribulation as a way that our faith builds, actually rejoice, which is a crazy notion. Why would you rejoice? Because I know it's good. That is just crazy to the world. To us, know that we're growing more. And so, in closing, I would point us back real quick to verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to turn there, but it said, in faith, Abraham obeyed God. And so, to me, obedience is a marker of faith and trust. So, I think submission and obedience is a marker of faith and trust, because if we have trust in this word, we're going to try our best to do what it says, and we're gonna believe it, and that's the way that God wants his people, to trust in his word and trust that that's what's best for their lives, and hope in it, and hope in him, and knowing that this world is not eternal. And so, to close, I when I was doing this lesson, it was just phenomenal for me. The Lord absolutely just convicted my heart about a lot of things, and so I wrote down 5 things, because I have a terrible memory. I can't hardly remember what I had for breakfast this morning, so I wrote down 5 things for me to always try to remember about faith. And so I'll give those to you, and hopefully maybe they'll help you out a little bit as well. And so number 1, I wrote, Seth, remember faith was given to you by God, so you can't boast in it. Number 2, Seth, remember your faith should never be still or stagnant, but rather it should be always growing. And number 3, Seth, remember your faith is growing when you apply and submit your whole heart to Scripture. Number 4, Seth, remember, don't grow weary during hardships. Rather, view it as an opportunity for your faith to grow. And then the last one I put, finally, Seth, remember that faith has an attitude of I don't know while on this earth, but an attitude of I do know about the life after. So that's what I had for us tonight, and let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that it is good and that you are good, and that your word to us is completely true. It is inerrant and it's infallible and it's completely perfect. And we thank you for that word. We thank you for your revealed word to us that we didn't deserve, but you gave it to us. Father, we pray that we can be people of faith. We pray that we can trust you and obey your word and grow closer to you through your word. Thank you so much for everyone in this room. I pray a special blessing on them, and that you would help their faith to grow each day, and that they would seek your face and see your son, Jesus, as the most beautiful and glorious thing in the world. Thank you for the sunshine that we've had today and the warmer weather that we're getting, and just continue to keep your sovereign hand over us, watch over us, even as we leave this place.